starting a new series today called The Treasure Principle. And please turn our Bibles to Matthew 13. And as you turn there, you know, I wanted to show some pictures from the singles masquerade ball that they had this past weekend. And it looked like a really, really cool event. I just wanted to give a shout out to the singles for their planning and organization and all the hard work and efforts that they put into making this a great event. Isn't that incredible? These pictures are pretty awesome. So Matthew 13, verse 44. I'm asked that I make this announcement. So we as a church, we really love to build relationships. And so we don't want to just have people come to church and then just leave. So with the intent of building great relationships, we're going to have free tea and coffee in the back after the service. So grab a cup of coffee, grab a cup of tea, and get to know one another. So that was the announcement I was asked to make. So there you have it. So Matthew 13, verse 44. The Bible says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. So Jesus is giving a series of illustrations on what the kingdom of God is like. And here he tells a story of a man. And just you have to put yourself in this man's sandals, because they didn't have shoes back then. But imagine walking all day in the hot sun, in dry ground. He's going from somewhere to somewhere, and he decides that, he's going to take a little detour, hopefully a shortcut that can get him to his destination faster. So as he walks on a ground not too different from the one you see in the picture, he has probably a walking stick or something, and he's walking and he hears a thunk. And he's curious. He's like, wait, what is that sound? And so he begins to dig. In the hot sun, he's digging. And as he goes a little bit underneath the surface, he finds a treasure chest. Now he's curious. He's like, I wonder what's in here. And then he opens it, and to his amazement, he finds a bunch of treasure. It is absolutely incredible. And there's no one that he can see miles and miles from this treasure chest. So it's obviously someone who buried it and is not coming back, or there's no one there that he can say, hey, maybe is this yours? Or so obviously he wants to take the treasure, right? But he can't, because that's like stealing. So he's like, I don't want to steal. So he decides to go and sell everything he has to buy this field with the treasure in it. You guys with me? So he's blown away by this great idea he's had. He reburies it and makes sure it's a few feet deeper than when he found it, so no one else will find it. And then he goes away and proceeds to make a plan to sell everything he has, to do whatever it takes to buy this plot of land that for most people they think is just dry ground. But for him, he knows. He knows what's exactly in this dry ground. And so from the point of view, from that point of his life, everything changes. The treasure captures his imagination. It becomes the stuff of his dreams. It's his reference point. It's his new center of gravity. He takes every new step with this treasure in mind. Whatever he knew before he met the treasure, he knows something completely different. He has experienced a radical paradigm shift. And that should make sense to us. He found something so amazing that everything before and after is completely, radically different. And Jesus paints this picture as a vivid picture of the joy of surrendering lesser treasures to find the greater one. This is Jesus painting this very vivid picture of what someone will do when they found a greater treasure. They're willing to give up all the lesser ones that they have just to get the greater treasure. Now, Jesus, in his ministry, he preached a lot about money. About 15% of what he said is about money, which is quite a high percentage if you think about it. He spoke about money or possessions or stuff. Jesus actually has an incredible treasure mentality. He's your ultimate, the greatest financial advisor you'll ever get, to be honest with you. Let's turn to Matthew 6, verse 20, and we'll see this. He's actually an exceptionally treasure-minded teacher. So Matthew 6, verse 20, the scripture is on the screen. So here's what Jesus says, Matthew 6, verse 20. He says, let's start reading verse 19. He says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Did you pick up on this? What does he say? He doesn't say don't store up treasure. He just says make sure you store it in the right place for the right time. Let me read verse 20 again. "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal." Jesus is an exceptionally practical teacher. I don't know how many of you have gone to financial advisors. I have, when I was about maybe 28, 29, maybe 30 years old. And my financial advisor, this is in America, so they have this thing where they leave you their business cards at a restaurant. And if you, I guess it's a luck of the draw, if you write your name and put your name in there, and you win, they take you out for lunch, which I think they take everybody out for lunch because they want to meet the client. But you get a free lunch and it's a free consult. And so I put my name in the jar and I got called. And so I went for lunch, a Mexican place. I like Mexican food. So I had lunch at Qdoba. It was great. So he proceeds to give me some good financial advice. He says, you know, it's so important for you to think long term, not short term. And he says, you know, you want to pay yourself. That's something I learned from him. I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, when you get a paycheck, do you actually pay yourself?" I said, I thought the paycheck was my paycheck, you know? He said, "No, it's not. It's you're paying all your bills. You're paying other people, but make sure you take at least 10% of your paycheck and pay yourself." I said, "All right, that makes sense." And he says, "Think long term, not short term. So invest in long term. Think 30 years, not just 3 days or 3 weeks." So, okay, that makes sense. And then he says, "Start young. How old are you?" I said, "I was about 30 at that point or so, 30, maybe 31. He said, "You're too late, 10 years too late. But start now so that you won't be 10 years too late when you're 40. And so, you know, good financial advice. In fact, he was a very sound financial advisor. But you know, the thing is, his time frame is 30 years old. 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. That's his time frame. Let's look at Jesus' time frame, what he says. Let's turn to Matthew 19. You know, as you turn there, I give this advice to the campus students. If I find a campus student, so if you don't know, I serve the campus ministry. I'm the campus minister. So anytime a campus student gets a job, I always sit down and go through some financial planning for free. I give him free advice, you know. And I gave the advice my financial advisor gave him, except I add to, I said, "Look, take the money you have and give God 10%, because God should get first fruits. And then pay yourself 10%. And then live within your means. Do not buy anything for the first 5-6 years. Don't buy a car. Okay? Don't do it. Don't get a credit card. Don't do it. Because when you're young and you make good financial decisions, I mean, you're setting yourself for success. When you're 30, when you're 40, the opposite is true as well. When you make foolish financial decisions when you're 20 or in your 20s, you pay a price. Is that not true? For those who are in their 30s, 40s, it's harder to clean up your credit. It's doable. But you want to start clean. It's always a good approach. So I give him this advice, you know, and I even talk about RAs or retirement annuities. I say, you know, for someone who's 22, 23, it's like, do you invest in RA in retirement? So I'm basically telling them what this guy told me about 15 years back. And obviously when you're 22, 23, you're like, retirement? Are you kidding me? Like, I just got started. Who thinks of retirement, you know? But when you start saving from a young age, and when you're ready to retire, you actually are setting yourself up for success. So I'm not saying financial advising is not good. It's good. We need advice. But look at what Jesus says in terms of time frames and value of your investment. Matthew 19, verse 29. Jesus says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields because of my name will receive 100 times more." So let's stop there. So that means 100 times more. What's the best return on investment you can get? Anybody a financial consultant or in the financial business? What's the best that you can get? They might say if you can get whatever inflation is, which may be 4.7% or 4.7%, if you get anything over inflation, you're getting a good investment, good rate of investment. So if you invest in something, you get 6%, 8%, 9%, and inflation is 4.7%, that's a really good rate of investment. You get double digit that's crazy. 10%, 12%. I see advertisements, I don't know if you see them on billboards, they give you, I think, 13% or something, I forget. But you know, you have to keep your money in there for, you know how long? 5 years. You keep it in for 5 years, you get 13% or something like that. Can you imagine if someone gives you 100%? Like 100 times, rather, which is actually 10,000%. It's 100 times. Which is 10,000% rate of return. What would you do? So it means you're putting 1 rand, you're getting 100 rand. Would you invest in that portfolio? I mean, it's crazy, right? I love Jesus. He's awesome. He's the best. He says, "Hey, man, this is what I'm talking about. You get 100 times more." But the scripture's not up there yet. But that's not all. What else does he say you get? And. So it's an and, not an or a maybe. You'll receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. And. So you get 10,000% rate of investment. And on top of that, you get eternal life. So which financial advisor should I listen to? The dude who told me to save 10% of my salary, invest in a 30 or 40 year investment portfolio? Or do I listen to Jesus Christ who says, "Hey, do you understand what I am telling you? I'm telling you to invest in what is eternal and not what is temporary." It just gives you a new perspective, right? So what is the treasure principle? Let's start there. What is the treasure principle according to Jesus Christ? And this is the main concept from this lesson. What is the treasure principle and what is your treasure principle? Okay, so what is Jesus' treasure principle? Well, it's the person, place, and time. For Jesus Christ, And for us, the treasure principle is not a what, it's a who. Jesus is our treasure. Jesus is the treasure. And the place of investment is God's space. We call it heaven. In biblical mindset, heaven is not like, you know, we think of heaven depending on where you, what spiritual or religious background you may have had. Heaven is up there, earth is here, hell is down here. That's the sort of how we look at the locations. That's the most common view. Where is heaven? It's up there somewhere. Where is earth? Well, it's here. Where is hell? Well, it's down below somewhere. But that's not how biblical thinking actually works. You can even go back to Genesis 1. Please read it for yourself. In Genesis 1, and you read through the whole chapter, you'll find in biblical mindset, heaven and earth were actually one place. It was interconnected. In fact, in Genesis 3, you find God walking in the cool of the garden. What does that mean? That means that his space, which is what heaven is, God's space, and human space, was one space. It wasn't two spaces. But because of sin, our decision to essentially kick God out, it's what we did, but we couldn't, because God is God, we're not. He kicks us out, he exiles us, and then you have a split. But heaven in biblical terminology is God's space. In fact, if you think of it as dimensions, heaven and earth are two dimensions. And every so often, you'll find heaven burst in. It's like a curtain has been opened, and you see a glimpse of heaven. In fact, one of the ways we see a taste of heaven is when we meet and worship. You read Revelation 5, which is a picture of the future worship that is happening now and will happen. But when we engage in worship, that's what we're doing. We're peeling the curtain back and we're approaching God's throne. It's actually quite amazing. And what Jesus is saying is, think of the place where you want to invest. Do you want to invest in God's space, heaven, or the human space, where you're going to lose a lot more than you gain? At best, you're going to get 9% rate of return. But what's even worse is that you might lose your money. You might be robbed. Your possessions will rust. So decide where you want to go. Decide where you want to invest. Decide for how long do you want your investment to last. And that's the time, eternity. I can either choose 30 years, or I can choose 30 million plus years. Because eternity is a long time. It's forever. And that is Jesus' treasure principle. That's the way he sees life. That's the way he calls others to see life. He's giving us a glimpse, because he is God's space. In fact, wherever he went, he was bringing heaven with him. And there was this incredible heavenly dimension intruding and almost attacking into the earth space, the human space. And there was a result of it, as you can read the Gospels, there was freedom, there was healing, because that's what heaven's space is, God's space is. And so he is telling us, guys, I know what is, who's the treasure, where does the treasure lie, and how long. I'm telling you, do not live just for here and now. So he's giving us this treasure principle. What is your treasure principle? And like I said, this is the main concept of this lesson. You have to go home and pray and think about it. What is your treasure principle? Does this not make sense? Does this not make sense? And I'll tell you, and there's some questions. What person are you living for? Excuse the grammar, but you get the idea. What place? And are you living for short term or very, very long term? I shouldn't say long term. I should say eternity. Because here's the thing, right? Money and church. It's a contentious issue. For obvious reasons, we know a lot of churches, unfortunately, they just want people's money. And they say, give money. And they have the false teaching on prosperity gospel. The more you give, the more you get. That's absolutely not what's happening. In fact, when you even go back to Matthew 19, you find very clearly that Jesus is not saying the more you give, you get 10,000%. He's actually speaking of suffering. In fact, that is how we access God's space. We model the walk of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not just come here and it was not without suffering. Jesus suffered in order to bring God's space into human space. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. So there's that pattern of reality that we as followers of Jesus also have to model. But it's worth it. So I don't want to confuse anyone here or be misunderstood, because that is one of the main challenges with money and church, is that churches don't do a good job teaching about treasure principle. They generally have to, the most common teaching is give more, you get more. You'll be rich. Well, the only person that gets rich is the pastor or whoever else gets to, pull from the offering. But the church itself doesn't. In fact, I do campus ministry. I speak to a lot of campus students about faith and so on. One of the most common answers I get why they don't want to follow Jesus is because they are part of, and this is across race, across located people, that, they grew up in rural communities to urban, white, black, doesn't matter. The primary reason they don't want to is because they have seen people being robbed. The pastor has a big house, whereas they maybe come from a poor community, and everybody around there, around the pastor's house, is in poverty, and they're giving the pastor whatever they have. 10 rand, they're giving him 10 rand. Why? Because the message is, you give me, you'll get rich, and they're feeding on people's desperation. So I can either take this 10 rand, or I can give this 10 rand and hope I get 20 rand. So they're exploiting someone's emotional vulnerability. And so again, I have to say that, because if you're visiting, but this is important, that because this is happening, we cannot ignore talking about the treasure principle. Does that make sense? I hope I'm making sense. But we have to come at it biblically and come at it right. Because imagine if your treasure principle is to live for yourself or for your family, for your career, for your hobby, and you're just looking to live for here, for the next 25, 30 years, and it's exceptionally short term. You want to evaluate that in light of Scripture, and you want to ask some questions. Does that make sense? Yes. Is this that important? It's not, we want your money. We don't want your money. I definitely don't want your money. I can speak. Tembo was a pilot in SAA. He left his job. Tembo leads the church, for those who don't know. He left his job at SAA to go be a minister, okay? We, in our community of churches, ministers don't get paid like maybe in other communities. I have a master's in engineering. I could make more money being an engineer than being a minister. So I don't need your money. He doesn't want your money. We don't want the money to get you. That's simple. Because if you're investing in your treasure principle is this, please reconsider, because it is a foolish, it's very foolish investment. You guys with me? Yeah. Hopefully this is making sense. So treasure principle, let's go back to Matthew 13, and I'll say a few things before we end. So, this is not just about money. Let me just be clear. It's about a lifestyle. It's about a lifestyle. Look at this person, what they experienced. And read it again. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Did you catch that word joy? Let's not forget or miss this point. It's It's incredibly exciting when you find treasure. And that's what Jesus is. That's what he ought to be. And the church can say amen. It's okay to say amen, you know. Amen just means, I had to tell my son, you know, he's like, this kid always, you know, he's 3 and a half, he asks some good questions. He says, why we say amen? I said, well, amen just means you agree. That's all it means. You're not giving up your firstborn. You're just saying yes. So when I say Jesus is our treasure and you say amen, you're saying yes, he is. That's all. And surely there's a joy to this, right? We're discovering something so incredible and we're like, wow, you got to come and check it out. He's so awesome. But he's not the only treasure we encounter on a daily basis, is it? And so what I'm about to say now, I just want to, you know, say this. I just want to set it up by saying, I love you guys. And I want to throw something out there for you to consider. This is not a rebuke in that sense. And if you're visiting with us, just please also know that we're not a perfect church. We're far from it. So there's a little family discussion happening. You happen to just be part of it. Hopefully it also helps you see that, wow, this community is addressing stuff and asking questions humbly, but also why? Because we have to answer and ask each other, because if we don't, then we're making some very poor short-term decisions, which I think I'm safe to assume, we all want to be with Jesus in God's space for eternity. Amen. Thank you, Chess. I got amen. And we want to help other people, right? That's safe to say that we want to do. And so let me ask you guys this question. So we had a midweek service last Wednesday. And we had 70 people at the midweek service. Now we have 200 members in our church. So that means 130 members weren't here. Let's account for 30 members having health challenges, something came up last minute. I think that's a safe number, 30. We can't account for 100 members. Now, maybe you are one of the 100, I'm not sure. But I just want to ask you, what is your treasure principle? Because here's the thing, Jesus is not the only treasure we encounter on a daily basis. He is the treasure. But our hearts be human. We're like a cat chasing a laser pointer. We get distracted so easily. It's not even funny. But here's some questions to ask. I'm not sure what reason 100 didn't come. I can't ask 100 people. That. In fact, if you're leading a family group, please ask. Now, if you yourself weren't there and you're leading a family group, you tell the family group why you weren't there. And then just have some conversations. That's all. Here's some questions. If it was a work function that was at 7 p.m. on a Wednesday, would you go? You'll make plans with transport. You'll make plans post-event. You'll figure it out. If your answer is yes to that, then maybe you want to consider what is your treasure principle. Perhaps you are investing for here and now, for your job, and not the treasure principle Jesus says we ought to have. You guys with me? Yes. It's not midweeks happen unexpectedly. Right? And if I'm being honest, that if you feel like, hey, we got to do a better job planning our calendar, come speak to me. I think we do a good job. Right? We have a calendar. It's on our website. You even have invites being sent. We're having our next midweek, March 11th. I think we do a good job putting out information. If we can do better, we'll do better. Come tell us. Come tell me. Okay? But you know it's there. It's happening. You have to just pray and ask yourself, what is the reason that I'm not here? If it's distance, how far is your job from where you live? Like if your job is equal distance or more than coming to midweek, but you go to your job every day, surely you have to ask that question. Wait, why can't I go once every 2 weeks on a Wednesday? Does that make sense? Oh, maybe it's my kids. Like, it's tough to get my kids to come. And, well, actually, that's how your kids will know that your treasure is Jesus. So when you tell your kid, here's why we're going. Like I said, I don't, for those who were here at midweek, my son, my 3.5-year-old son, asked me, why do we go to church? So it's a good question. We have to ask. We have to answer that question. It's because we love God. We want to be with God's people. We want to learn more about God. We want to seek first His kingdom. We want to seek the treasure that Jesus is. Because again, this is not just a ritual. It's fact. We end up with so much information bombarded at us. We have so many other things competing for us and for our attention. We have so many other things being presented as treasure. Is that not true? I mean, that's just fact. So we have to get to our, like, this is, Jesus is our treasure. And you have to almost, you have to keep digging in, into Jesus. You have to keep being encouraged and being inspired and, you know, not give up. And we need each other. Because at any point, we're all cats chasing laser pointer. Maybe today you're at a better place spiritually than you were last week. But next week, we're back to chasing our cat, chasing our laser pointer. That's how easily distracted we can get. And so let me just wrap up here quickly. So are you guys with me? Hopefully that question came out with a lot of love and a lot of respect. I don't know your situation, and so I'm not standing up here trying to judge you one way or the other. Actually, I'm not. My hope, and I hope you have the same hope for me, is that we are following Jesus' treasure principle and not our own, right? And if we see each other chasing after the laser pointer, if we're following a different treasure principle, I hope we love each other to say, hey, come, let's sit down. Let's talk. What's going on? There's no judgment. We just got to help each other out. Maybe this time I help you, next time you help me. But we're here for each other. And that's why we have small groups, because small groups is a good place where we get to know one another. We get to know what's happening. If there's health issues or like Jake spoke up here, if there's something unexpected, or we can help. And it's the same thing. If someone comes to you with a sin or something they're trapped in, don't just ignore it. Love them, to call them to biblical repentance. To say, hey, let's Jesus sets us free. In fact, there's a scripture that says, when the Son sets you free indeed. You don't have to be in shackles. But to get you free, let's get to the bottom of what's happening here. Let's get into your heart. It's not my job to get into your heart. It's your job to allow me into your heart. Do you see what I'm saying? And we're calling people to repentance. We're not excusing away where they are because of this or that. That's not going to help. We're calling them to change, to connect with Jesus, to turn away. Why? Because that's the treasure principle. So if you thought this was just about your 10% giving, it's not. It's like, hey, you're probably recording. It's like, I got sent, you know, like, did you just say it's not? It's not. Like, what? Just think about logically. It's like telling your kid, hey, it doesn't matter how you behave. It doesn't matter about your attitude. Just get good grades. That's all matters. Would you say that to your kid? No ways. It's the same thing. It's like, if you look at Christianity as this checklist of, I gave my 10%, but your treasure principle is actually you. Look at me. I give my 10% every month. But you're no more like Christ. You're not teachable. You're proud. No one can talk to you because you know everything. And when you help people, you're like, look at me. I helped. No one could get this person to grow. I could. Look at me. I'm awesome. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, like, no one in this room will think, oh, this person's giving 10%. They're doing great spiritually. You'll be like, let's talk. Let's help you. So again, I want us to get that mindset. It's not just 10%. The church doesn't need your money so they can hire a staff. That's just one part of it. It's a very tiny part of it. It's actually about, what is your treasure principle? What is my treasure principle? The first fruits. How do you give? Because it is a financial series. And I wouldn't be doing you service if I didn't ask. How do you give? Do you give your first fruits? Look at that picture. It's so beautiful. Right? Or do you give your leftovers? Do we give our first fruits or do we give our leftovers? Something to pray about, think about, talk about. Church, we're in this together. I just want to end on this note. You know, church and money is a contentious issue, could be. Money is a personal issue. You may even feel a little uncomfortable, like, we just want to love each other. And if we're finding ourselves chasing after a different treasure other than Jesus, we're a safe community. Would you please talk about it? And I close out on this point. There are people in this church who give so generously. And for you, Jesus is your treasure. You sacrifice in ways that are just even, like we don't even know. And you give off yourself. You give off your time, your effort, your energy, your money. I just want to encourage you. You're probably some of the most generous donors. I don't know who you are, but I know there are people in this church who do that. I just want to encourage you that this and ironically, I think this would, you might be the person who takes this message and goes, "Wow, I gotta repent. I gotta change. I gotta look at my, you know." And great if that's what the Spirit of God's prompting you to do. But at the same time, I want to also speak to the people that may not be. You may not be giving. For you, the leftovers is your pattern of giving. At the end of the month, you just take out of your and you give something, even if it's nothing. And your treasure principle is very different from Jesus' treasure principle. Please get help. Again, like I said, we're in this together, right? And the goal is not to take your money. The goal is to keep your money from taking you. And living a short-term investment that in the long run you will really regret. And so again, church, I love you. It's a difficult message, but hopefully it's been encouraging. There's some good questions that you can reflect, talk about, talk in your small group. If you're visiting with us, please, we do Bible studies. Don't give. In fact, the contribution bag went before the sermon, not after, for a reason. Okay, get into some scriptures. Have a conviction from the Bible. We do Bible studies. We're here to help. But again, the treasure principle, just to conclude, is very simple. Jesus' treasure principle is He is our treasure. The place we want to invest in is heaven, and the time is for eternity. Love you, church. Thank you.